What's going on, Badger fans? Great episode today. We're going to talk about a new addition to the defensive staff. Plus, does Wisconsin need to lower its academic standards or at least be a little more flexible? Let's talk about kind of what we know and where we are on that topic and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, Badger fans? Happy Friday, everybody. Happy long Memorial Day weekend coming up as my camera suddenly unfocuses. I don't know what's on with that. But I do want to take a second to say thank you for jumping on with Locked On Badgers, making us one of your first listens every single day. And for everyone that's going to have this long weekend, understand what it's about. Be introspective of it. Happy Memorial Day weekend. And let's get into it. Let's bring Rajiv on the show. We haven't had Rajiv on the show for a minute here. And because of that, I have not been able to play.
Badgers winning a national title? Absolutely. Going on Final Four runs? Why not? It's Believe with Rajiv on today's Locked On Badgers.
What's going on, guys? I've been working almost 2 weeks straight. I've had a very, very busy couple weeks with work. But yeah, it's great to be back on. Today is my first day off in over 2 weeks, so I'm really excited to, just chop it up a little bit, talk Badgers.
By the way, how great is it? It's his first day off in 2 weeks, and I got him to do a show still. Like, you should have a day off. And I'm like, come on, man. Where's your priorities? I want to start here, Rajiv. People have started to say I've delved into the pessimist. One person actually said you're becoming more like the Sith Lord of the show, like me. They said you need to get Rajiv on, bring you back to the positivity. Justin has surpassed me as the positive one at this point. I think we're losing to Washington State. I don't like our pass rush. Tatter Mordecai could fall flat on his face. Recruiting slow. Garrett Sexton. Bring back Paul Christ at this point. Is not where I'm at, by the way.
I think it's just the nature of, we've got the off season, we've got time to think about things. So inherently you're going to think about what can go wrong. We've talked so much about what can go right. Well, we have to at least kick around the idea of what can go wrong. So I think it's fair. I still believe that you are an optimist, not quite as much to my level. But you sprinkle in the pessimism here and there.
You got to keep it real.
Yeah.
Let's start here. So I really wanted to have you specifically on this show because you and I represent different demographics, academics discussion. We talked about it before. For those who don't know, Rajiv graduated from University of Wisconsin, alumni. I'm just a fan and I don't crap on that, right? That's not a shot when I say just a fan. And I see Justin's join us as well.
Justin.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's a different perspective. And the genesis of this conversation came from Brian Smith was on the show as a scout in the Southeast. He talks to coaches. He's pretty well connected. He mentioned a conversation about talking to a Wisconsin coach that said, I was talking to this coach and he said, it's easier to get kids into Notre Dame. And he said, you can like it, you can hate it, but I've studied this my entire life. If you don't have looser academic standards, you're going to have an incredibly hard time getting in the type of defenders. He mentioned specifically defenders that you're going to need to compete with where we want to compete with. And he just kind of left it there. And he's very real about it. He's not saying Wisconsin needs to change. He's saying, understand that you might not be able to get to where you want to get if you don't. So I want to pause there and put up a couple of comments from that show and then get into the discussion. So this is from Jay Daly. Just my opinion. I don't ever want to see University of Wisconsin lower its academic standards. When we win, it just feels better to me that we did it the right way. Jay, appreciate the comment. Mark mentions a 2.5 GPA kid with tutoring and academic support and the right major can make it through with Wisconsin. And this was another comment. We got nothing worse than a kid that just won the Natty with a sixth grade speaking ability. However, the same way you bring in a three-star player and coach them up, you also need to do that academically. So opinions vary very much on this. Rajiv, I want to start with you on this one because this is something that you and I talked about, all three of us talked about on text. Where are you at when this discussion comes up?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because when we first started talking about it, first of all, there's a lot of different viewpoints on this. And I definitely have a very, sort of singular viewpoint. And then as I talked to you guys more, it kind of just opens up your eyes a little about different sides of it. Yeah. So I went to Wisconsin, 1999, 2004. So I'm dating myself now, obviously. But I think that I am first and foremost, Wisconsin is an academic institution. It is a state university of the state of Wisconsin, and that is what its function is. It is a research university. It puts out incredible, it's got incredible professors, unbelievable big scientific discoveries have happened at the university. It's a great institution. That is first and foremost what it is. Athletics are a huge part of college football now, and in a landscape where college or high school athletes who want to get to the NFL don't really have another avenue. There isn't another route you can really take other than going through college. So I understand when you look at it from that lens, you have to understand, okay, well, they have to go to college. So where are they going to go? There are a lot of different colleges out there. Obviously, some conferences don't have the academic rigors that the Big Ten has. It's something that I'm very proud of. And yes, I think it's because I attended that school. I think that's why my angle has that, because I'm proud of the university. I love the university. I love the city. I spent many years there. And so when I see that we have strong academic standards, it's a sense of pride. I can also see from the other side of it, though, which is, you know, development can happen. You can get better. Just because you're not the best student in high school doesn't mean you shouldn't get a chance to go to college or go to Wisconsin and be able to succeed. But ultimately, the number one thing here is the education, right? A lot of these athletes, they use it. They do a great job with it. These guys they're really smart kids in high school. They come to college, they do great things, and they go on to do great things. So I can see it from both sides. But for me, as a student at Wisconsin, yes, I love the academic standards. I love that the Big Ten has really, really good standards at all their institutions. You can't even enter the Big Ten unless you have a minimum ranking.
You still there?
I'm still here.
I'm going to mute Rajiv. I think we're losing Rajiv.
All right.
All right, go ahead, Justin.
He's in shock. Okay, so I'm going to weigh in on this, and I have a very different perspective on this. And my view on this is every time we see somebody that throws out the argument that we can't lower our standards, it's with this idea that suddenly Wisconsin's going to start offering kids that can't tie their shoes. And it's like, no, nobody's asking for you to get people who are completely incapable of being quality students. That still needs to be a point of emphasis if you're the coaching staff. We're going to take people who we know are capable of graduating this school and making it through. I also think it's kind of ridiculous to look at this and say, you know, to not give an opportunity to a kid who, let's be honest, is going to have huge advantages from a academic standpoint over what the traditional students are. The people that are going to argue this from the academic side saying, you know, these kids don't provide value or whatever. If you bring in an exception for one of these kids, you're effectively bringing an exception on a kid who is likely to be replacing somebody who is a waitlist kid. It's not going to be in one of our massive, you know, the areas of the school where we're going to be doing research and development. Those programs aren't going to be touched by these kids, because these kids are going to be likely. Let's look at it. Half our football team is in communications. Are we looking at that area of study and saying like, oh, these kids aren't going to be able to make it by, or this is throwing a negative impact on the way we're viewed? There are people that want to throw Michigan out there. I will say unequivocally, Michigan makes exceptions for kids. They are different than Wisconsin. Anyone that thinks that they don't is just wrong. We've heard it that they will take opportunities to bring in people who are not. I don't know if they go all the way down to minimum standards, but they will drop down to let in kids that are not of their normal level. They have exceptions. Barry had exceptions when he was here. We just changed the rules. What was it? Around 2000? I think it was right around, Rajiv, when you started going there, is when we kind of switched things. When agricultural journalism disappeared as the class of choice for half our football team.
Well, let me jump in here, because this is something Rajiv and I talked about before you jumped on the air, Justin. We don't know for sure. Like, it's hard to find exactly what those details are for the academic requirements as well, which makes the conversation a little difficult.
Right.
There is a comment up here from Lee Levin who mentions Michigan in case you don't know, they have high standards as well, and they win. Michigan's also a blue blood in an – you just still – here's my thing with Michigan. You can't use Michigan as an example. It works for them. Why can't we do it? Because we're not Michigan. That's why. We don't have wings on our helmet. We don't have national titles in our background, and we don't recruit the state of Michigan as an in-state school.
And they
That's
do
– it doesn't work for us to compare to Michigan.
They do take make exceptions for players. They just
we're sure that Michigan does things that Wisconsin is not. And I've looked for it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I've actually tried to find this information. I'm sorry. Can you guys hear me now?
The only two schools that I'm unaware of that make exceptions are Northwestern and Wisconsin. I think Illinois has got heightened requirements for some of their stuff, but I don't believe that they're as strict as what Northwestern and Wisconsin
are. Let's pause there for a second, because we got to take a quick break for the show. I have some interesting comments coming up from Luke Fickell when he talked about academics taking this job. I think there's some interesting nuggets buried in what he said that leads me to think it might be changing a little bit. And a couple other comments here. Coldstone says what Brian said is completely false, which is interesting to me. Brian Smith, the guy who was on the show who mentioned the Notre Dame-Wisconsin thing. I don't think he was making up smoke, although I'm not doubting what Coldstone is saying either. I don't know. That's why Brian Smith brought that to the table and I didn't. And then this one's from Badger and Boardmouth, who says, I don't buy it that the athletic departments don't get exceptions. Again, we got to take a quick break. I just want to put these comments up here. But that is the tricky part, is it is hard to find definitive information on this. But we're going to continue this discussion coming up. But first, a quick break for our friends of the show over at Bird Dog, our great friends of the show over at Bird Dogs. And I've talked about this a lot. Bird Dogs for me solved a massive problem where when I was going out, I was kind of looking a little homeless. And, you know, Bird Dogs is something that, as I hide this one here, something that I'm able to wear. It's comfortable. It's versatile. It makes me look great. I look like a stud out there in my Bird Dogs, at least from the waist down. Let's say that. And, you know, Bird Dogs, they send us some material. This is something that I'm telling you. If you are a guy like me who thrives in comfort and thrives in not spending more than 13 seconds putting together your wardrobe, Bird Dogs are the place to go. They give you incredible, comfortable, customizable shorts. And for the summer coming up, there's nothing better than Bird Dogs. They're going to get you set for the picnic weather, the lake weather, the river weather, the cabin weather, whatever it is. And now if you go to Bird Dogs, they have a great offer for you. Go to Bird Dogs. It is birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, and they will throw in a free Yeti-style tumbler with every order. I got mine. It's great. birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, free Yeti-style tumbler with every order. And again, I want to take this second to say thank you for everybody who's tuning in, and an incredibly happy Memorial Day weekend. I know it's a celebration for a lot of people. Understand and remember, please, why we have this time off for Memorial Day. Enjoy it with your families. Enjoy yourself. Take a few minutes to be introspective of the reasons behind the holiday. And I hope everyone has an incredibly happy and healthy one. All right, let's get Justin Rajiv back on. Where is Rajiv? we keep losing Rajiv. He's just a blank cam right now. But Justin, you did want to respond to that last comment from Badger and Boardmouth, I think. I think his comment's actually fair. Like, I haven't been able to find anything, really.
We get exceptions, but we don't get minimum qualifiers. And the only two schools that I'm aware of that don't allow for minimum qualifiers in the Big Ten are Northwestern and Wisconsin.
I want to bring this comment up from this is Luke Fickell. These are really interesting comments to me from Luke Fickell. And Rajiv, if you can hear us, jump back in. I can't get you back on the screen, my friend. But Luke Fickell was asked in an interview, I think it was a press conference, but maybe it was reported in The Athletic, and he was asked about the academic requirements. And one thing he said is, this part to me here is really interesting. He said, you can't just take a couple game clips and say, this is the player who they are. Just like you can't take a kid with a 2.5 GPA and say, that's the academic person he is. You know, you have to coach them up academically and athletically. And I think he's saying between the lines, we're going to have a little bit of wiggle room to bring in players that we believe in. The other thing I want to really quickly point out is when I talk about this, so I think the academic standards should be a little less flexible. And maybe that's because I didn't go to the University of Wisconsin. That's a perspective that I have. But I want to be super real with everybody listening to the show. I don't cheer for the math team. I don't cheer for – I'm not trying to be crass. And I don't think the standards should bottom out. You have to believe in the kid you're bringing in. But I cheer for the football program and the basketball program. And if I believe Luke Fickell can bring in high-quality kids that can also help us compete at the highest level of those programs – I'm okay with that standard happening, I guess is where I'm at, because that's who I cheer for. I don't cheer for the research and development program making new breakthroughs. It's just that's where I'm at. And I don't begrudge anybody who says they shouldn't, Lord, either.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I'm sorry. By the way, I'm having some tech issues. I apologize. I hardly ever have Wi-Fi problems in my house, but today I just happen to be having one of those days. So I'm sorry if you lose me there. But I do cheer for that stuff, right? I do. I am someone who cheers for the fact that we do have a very incredible academic institution, mm-hmm. and we are a school first. We were not founded on athletics, right? We were founded as a research institution. So I think that lowering them, look. I think it's important. Obviously, the athletic program is a big moneymaker. It's big for us, and I know we need to do what we need to do. And I'm okay if there's exceptions here and there, but I don't want to lower our standards because that then lowers the value of that education when you go there. And it's saying that, like, okay, well, I mean, it maybe doesn't lower the value of it, but it's saying, like, if we've set ourselves to be this academic institution, and it's okay that. In order to go to that school, you need to have those minimum requirements because there are schools that you can go to that don't have those requirements. And I'm okay with that. So while you say, like, I hear your argument of, you know, we don't cheer for the math team, and you're right, but I do cheer for the university as a university as well, which is why I probably carry this opinion. But it is something that really you have to look at from all sides. And that's something that you guys kind of opened my eyes to that. And I looked at it from a different perspective because I've always just carried that same perspective, and looking at it from a different side is like, okay, well, I can see their point. So it is an interesting discussion, but in general, no, I just don't feel like they need to be lowered because it is an institution first, right? This is a college. It is the largest college in the state. It is founded that way, and it has a greater purpose than just athletics.
Well, I mean, the whole purpose of a university is to help the growth and development of kids, is it not? I mean,
of society, in general, through research.
Correct. Well, we can say it's through research. We could say it's through development of just life experience and going through the process of going through college, which is why people say, you know, having the college experience is something that's worthwhile. There's not a lot of kids that actually go to school for research. Like, it's a very defined group. And I just don't think our players are anyone that, how many people do we think that are honestly on the football team that are involved in any sort of research? I would put it at under 5 probably on the team. And these are some very academically gifted kids that are on the football mm-hmm. team. It's just most of them don't go into that field. So I don't see how we're impacting those areas with regards to the football team. Now you have some, I mean, it's legitimately, it would be, I would understand the argument if that was the case. If we're saying we're choosing this football player over a kid who is a gifted scientist that may be going into one of our biotech, you know, fields where this kid's probably going to flunk out because it's a very arduous, you know, curriculum. We're not putting kids into that.
Well, like, Travis Frederick was famously a double major.
He was a double major, yes. In
computer science and some type of...
Yeah, and there are people that are in engineering and stuff like that that are on the team. There definitely are. I'm not saying that they're not, but you and I see the graduation things from all the players come out, and I would say at least half of them are communications. And that's because a lot of the kids that are athletes also probably want to go into sports broadcasting or journalism or something like that after they get done, because that's what they're interested in. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I just don't see how the bigger point to me is, do you feel like this kid is capable of holding or being able to handle the academic standards that are required of the university? Like, once he's in the door, like we're putting these criteria on these kids saying that they're not able to handle it unless they are achieving this. And the question, I guess, really that comes from this is, are they? Like, could we take somebody that is a minimum qualifier, and are they capable of making it through our programs? And if that's the case, I think that warrants some level of consideration where you can take a look at it and say, yeah, he's a sharp kid. Maybe he didn't apply himself as much as we thought. And he's going to have a lot of assistance here that the average student doesn't have, that he's going to be able to do it. Now, I'm not advocating at all for us to start bringing in kids that we know are just going to get washed just to get play out of them for a year or two. I think that to me is a bridge too far. And I know there are people out there that do that.
Let me ask this, Justin. Like, okay, so in general, do you guys believe in the minimum requirements that you must hold while you are at school? Like, you have to have, I think it's a 2.2 or 2.0. So let me ask you, why? Why not just pull it completely apart then? If you, if like, then so I mean, if you're going to, why do you want there to be minimum requirements to be in school and make those grades and then not have the rigors of getting in? Like,
Let me jump in on this one quick, because I there's another thing I wanted to talk about that happened a little earlier. So Jacob Soviec, I apologize if I mispronounced the name, said
I was going to actually say something about this,
that most football players are comms majors is a huge disservice to those kids. So the last thing we're trying to do is do any type of disservice to any kids.
And that's not what's meant by it. It's simply saying that this is not a research,
but
degree of study that they're going into. It is a more, it's not sciences, it's arts. It's a liberal arts degree compared to a science degree. It's just, they're different. It's not research. It's going to be more driven on, I guess the way I'm trying to look at it is the way that it's studying for that type of degree is different. Just like I went into business and I avoid, you know, there's requirements that are required for that that are just different than everything else.
There's a couple things I want to hit on quick here. Then we have to take another break. We had a bunch planned for this show, and this academic discussion might take it all, which is totally fine. Rajiv, to your point with lowering the standards, I wanted to just quickly throw it out there that does taking a couple exceptions, and I'll just phrase it like that because I don't even know the best way to phrase it. Does that actually lower the reputation of a degree from the University of Wisconsin?
No, it doesn't.
I think when you're talking about, I don't want the value of that to be degraded. I don't think a couple athletes coming in the door that may not necessarily get there otherwise degrades that. And then I want to hit on your other question, because I think it's a really, really salient question. It's really good. Why are we okay with one set of standards but not another? To me, the one set of standards maintaining academic eligibility is more of a level playing field thing. I feel like most schools require obviously some type of athletic eligibility, academic eligibility, whereas most schools do not require the level of entrance that Wisconsin does. So I think to me, it's more leveling that academic playing field than it is creating like a hypocrisy between the two.
Right. And fair. And that obviously is a key point. And I think that, I guess my argument is that, yes, the academic requirements when you're there to maintain, okay, that's fine. But my view is like, there are a lot of schools. There are schools that have much lower academic standards. And I don't think it's wrong for Wisconsin to be able to hold their own level. And I might, and I also really just need to, and I don't know if you heard this earlier when I was coming in and out of Wi-Fi. I think one of the arguments is that we really don't know. Like we're to the point where like, we think we know where Wisconsin standards are compared to Illinois, Purdue, Michigan, Indiana, all these great institutions. But I don't know that we're not making exceptions, and maybe we aren't. And if anyone has information on that, I would love to see it. So if you're listening to this, please like send it our way. I've been looking and I can't see it. I don't know how public that information is, because we're also potentially having a discussion where we all could be wrong really on what actually happens at the university. And Justin, sounds like you have more information, and I respect that. I just don't have it, but I feel like, you know, we don't actually know what it is. So if we could see what every school in the Big Ten had, like their, okay, like this is what their admission requirements are, this is what their staying requirements are, this is what their SAT scores or their GPAs or whatever. And then I think we could have a fruitful discussion about like, is it fair that we are, you know, we have tougher standards than maybe Illinois or Purdue, but they're, I don't know that we do or we don't. I think that's another part. But in general, I don't think it's a bad thing that these schools are setting that, because that's the school, the conference has chosen to do that. It's not like we haven't had successful teams here and successful programs. So it can be done, but I just don't necessarily think that it has to be lowered just to be better at sports. Cause that I don't agree with. You don't need to do that.
Well, there I think,
people. Well, let's take a quick break. We got to take one more quick break here and then Justin, we're coming back out of the break to you. Is a good question here from Christian Gross. We can discuss out of the break as well. I think this is an interesting point. Do you think there are more academic donors than athletic donors? Would that be something that impacts the decision on the requirements? It's an interesting point, Christian. I don't actually know that. We got to take a quick break for our friends of the show, and then Justin will come back with you out of the break on this. So one quick break for our friends of the show, as always. And again, thank you so much for tuning into this. I would love to continue this discussion. I think it's going to take the entire show. We do have a really interesting addition to the defense, as I bring the guys back in, the defensive coaching staff, but I think that's going to be a separate show, because I don't want to stop this conversation, quite frankly. Justin, I know you wanted to talk about a little something either in response to Rajiv or the question from Christian.
Well, what I was going to say is that you need to make a decision as an institution about what your goals are when it comes to athletics. Then if what you're, if the goal is to win championships and to push for championships, then you need to be willing to play on that playing field with everyone else that is at that top right now. And if we look at the teams that are at the top, they do not have the same requirements that Wisconsin has. And if that's the case, then you have to take a legitimate look at it and say, all right, we're not going to, if we're not willing to do that, then we need to accept the fact that we're not going to be able to go compete at that level, because that's just the way it is. I'm sorry. There's too big of a difference there between the type of players Wisconsin's getting compared to what anyone that watched that OSU Georgia game this year, there's a massive difference in terms of the type of players that they had on the field in that game compared to what Wisconsin has had at any point in time.
But I don't think that's mostly academics. I really don't.
I don't either. But we're down the pecking order.
The darkest moment of the Locked On podcast, where we did a post game therapy show, and a guy came on and said academics are the reason we can't beat Ohio State. And then I was deluged with negative comments. I was told I was being racist. It was miserable. So I want to be super clear on this point, because maybe we weren't clear enough before. Academics are not the reason we're not beating Ohio State.
No. They get to choose. The difference is that they can get the guys who have the requirements that Wisconsin probably wants. They're just higher in the pecking order. So we have to, you're going to have, if you're trying to find a player of similar level, there's going to be an area where you're going to have to give something in terms of that. Some schools do character, which none of us want Wisconsin to make that decision. And some do academics, where we're not going to get the 4.0 kid or the 3.5 kid. We're going to get the kid that's 2.7 and is similar there. And you're going to be fighting over it with all the other schools that are kind of in that second tier that are able to provide similar situations. Now, that's kind of where Wisconsin has to take a look at it and be like, of the schools that are our peers, for the most part, if we want to take a look at it, like the people, we can argue where we would be in the tier, but we're in the Notre Dame, you know, second tier down from everybody else, or at least we were a couple of years ago. And that's the teams that we have to fight with in terms of what our standards are and requirements are to bringing in that second level of player, because it's all the teams that have not made it or have not won a title in recent history that are kind of fighting to get to the playoff, or our dark horse playoff teams that are the teams that Wisconsin is competing with right now.
Interesting comment here, Rajiv. I don't know if you saw this. This is from Road 84. Taylor Luan, the former Michigan offensive tackle, played in the NFL, said on his podcast that Wisconsin wouldn't recruit him due to grades, but he was good to go at Michigan. Now, I haven't heard that. Road, I'm sure Road isn't making that up.
Right.
You know, it could potentially be something Wisconsin just told them, or sometimes people don't go to a certain place and an excuse is found in a way. But yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point right there, that if we weren't recruited a guy that went to Michigan and ended up playing in the NFL, there's a lot of data points that are anecdotal. I'm mispronouncing that word, but if you guys know what I mean, where we can't say for sure, but we know Gary Anderson left because of academics and a lot of other things. This is not a Gary Anderson apology show, but there's a history here where academics have been a bit of a hurdle. Rajiv, I want to kick it back to you and maybe address this comment or anything else that you're at to kind of start wrapping this one up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, there are a lot of different viewpoints, and you can probably find 10 other, you know, anecdotal pieces of information that are from the other side that say it was harder to get into Michigan or whatever. So I just don't know. Without actual hard information, I think that it's just difficult to say for sure that Michigan allows exceptions that Wisconsin doesn't, or what the case is. And we certainly know that Northwestern is a school in the Big Ten that has much higher academic standards than anyone else, including for their athletics. And you can make the argument that that's why they're just not as good. But I think that it's not about academics that Ohio State beats us or Michigan's better than us, because Michigan is at a higher ranked school. Again, exceptions, who knows what the details are there, but there are a lot of schools. There are a lot of great students out there. A lot of these student athletes that go to high school that do all this work to get into college, they're really, really smart kids, and they can absolutely go to Wisconsin. And if Ohio State gets those guys, or Michigan gets those guys, or Notre Dame gets those guys, or Georgia gets those guys, it's because they probably want to go to those schools, because those schools simply have better football pedigree, and because that's what it is. And I just don't think that we are really falling behind from a larger picture on athletics because of the academics. I don't necessarily believe that, because yes, there might be a couple of kids here or there every year that say, look, I couldn't get into Wisconsin, so I went to this school and I played better. That's fine. But I think that's a small majority. I think it's a very small piece. I really don't think that's moving the needle. I think the fact that we've had a football program that has been unsuccessful in reaching that pinnacle of college football is the reason that we're not getting some of those guys, not just because of athletics, because of academics. And I'm not saying academics plays no part in it, but I think you're kind of like looking at one sort of section of it and saying, well, I think Justin, you made the comment, like, if we want to compete with the Georgias of the world, we need to lower our standards. I don't think that's the case, because I think Luke Fickell coming here, changing our culture entirely, is going to bring in recruits that we've never had before, not necessarily this year, but in the coming years. And academics are not going to they're not going to necessarily get in the way of that. I truly, truly believe that we can win without lowering our academic standards. And I again, it's really hard to break this discussion up and know for sure, because we don't have all the information, but I think we're talking about a very small percentage, guys.
Well, the reality of this is, and the problem that we have, is that we don't know what players we're not even recruiting because of the fact that we don't know anything about their academics. And that could be any number of players out there. I mean, it could be 5 players a cycle. It could be 25 that Wisconsin potentially has a chance on that end up going to other schools that really liked Wisconsin. And some of them may even go to some of those blue blood programs, do we normally win over Ohio State or whoever in terms of recruiting? No, we don't. But that doesn't mean that there's not a chance out there that we would have had a couple of those kids had we had the opportunity to actually recruit them. And we just don't know. Like, it's one of those things where there's no data out there for us to truly know. And the only people that really do know are the coaching staff. And unfortunately, I would sincerely doubt we're ever going to hear any of the stories of what they can, you know, who they have had to not, you know, chase after unless we can become good friends with them.
Well, and nor should we, right? Like, that's stuff that I wouldn't even want to know, really. I do want to point out, and there's some really good comments. I want to get Bo Dragon says, smarter players can run more complex schemes. It's a trade-off. Tom Neesis, great friend of the show, touched some nerves today. I earned my master's at UW and I'm a fan. I believe that coaches would want kids who can improve both in the classroom and on the field. Sometimes you have to take a risk. One thing I want to point out that I think gets lost sometimes, and this is a bigger societal issue, I think, is people kind of move to extremes. I think we're all talking about a bit of a balance to some degree, right? Like, neither Justin nor I know are talking, you can take anybody, open the floodgates. You trust the coaching staff to take academic risks on good character kids and help them through the process. So I want to make that super clear. Like, Gary Anderson left partially because of academics. He was also recruiting a guy in Texas that ended up getting charged for murder. Right. Yeah. That's not what we're talking about. Like, open the floodgates and let anybody in.
He definitely was taking more risks than what we were comfortable with.
But his
big running back target was a guy who I still can't believe is in the NFL right now for what happened at Oklahoma.
Well, maybe we shouldn't talk about running back targets, considering two of us got arrested for a knife fight recently under Paul.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a knife fight. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say it, but a knife incident, I'll say. So,
yeah.
I would say this, and we got to start wrapping this up. I want to say thank you both so much for this was a good conversation. And I think we fleshed out some thoughts and opinions. And even though we don't agree on everything, I think conversations like this, where we can hear each other out, are beneficial. And I think we should have more of them. Tom Neesis says, after listening to this, Justin's nickname should be the equalizer. He balances out Rajiv's and Ryan's point of view. I like it. I like it on this one. I like it.
See, this is showing. This is like you've all of a sudden now become like a pessimist, Ryan. Like, you're not like
Justin's the optimist now. He's like, we're gonna beat Washington State.
Wait till basketball season starts again.
Yeah, like, I've become the pessimist. Justin's moved up the optimist ranks, and Rajiv is still up there. He's a higher life form. Rajiv is
the eternal point. Optimist. I am always going to be the optimist.
Rick Fanta says, you guys just avoid the hard topics. I don't even know what the hard topics we're avoiding are. Let me know.
I
seriously,
this one here.
Let me know what those hard topics are.
Tell me the last guy turned down for grades since Fickell and NIL. There have been a few guys that we've heard hints of things, but I don't think names have ever been named. Ryan knew one of them that, you know, somebody had mentioned that we had to pass on, you brought up in another show, the one that went to Notre Dame. We don't know who was, but you know, there's some of these things that we just don't have details on. Like when you hear people talking behind, you know, offline, it's like nobody's going to come out here and say something negative about a kid. Like, we don't want to bash a kid and say he couldn't get in, you know, he's not good enough to get into our school. You know, especially when they get opportunity as other prestigious colleges. So there's no reason to drag them through the dirt or to give them a negative view. Like, I don't know a lot of names on this, and none of us have that type of connection to be able to get that information. And frankly, we shouldn't.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. We're at 35 minutes. We got 64 incredible people watching the show. A bunch of awesome dudes in the chat. Jacob, Rick, Bo, Lee, CJ, Tom, as always, you guys are amazing and incredible. And thank you so much for jumping on and sharing opinions and viewpoints, because that's what this is really all about. I want to say thank you to definitely Rajiv and Justin as well for jumping in on this. It's always great when I get these two guys on. And on Wisconsin, we'll talk later. You guys have any last quick thoughts?
I will say quickly that we had a couple other topics we wanted to talk about, the defensive coach, maybe some June 2nd recruiting. Let's maybe do another show in the next couple of days and come back on and talk about some Badger football.
Let's do it. The hard topics. I'm not trying to throw shade there, Rick. I'm sorry. He said one of the hard topics is NIL. He talked about it. We can talk some more NIL. It's a football team. We're not covering the crime beat. I don't really know what the hard topics are, but we're diving into them. I did a show on Gary Anderson. Yeah. Badger fans should be thankful. You tell me it doesn't get harder than that for Badger fans.
NIL is tough to talk about because we have no idea what other schools are working with in comparison to Wisconsin. And I don't even know what Wisconsin really has broken down. It's not like we got specific details from the gentleman that you had on last week. So until we know that, it's really hard to have an educated conversation on that topic.
On Wisconsin, we'll talk later. Thanks, guys.